The Lord is my shepherd. Those are the first five words of the 23rd Psalm, and they're printed on the front of the Psalm 23:1 apparel in the AFA Resource Center. Those words, along with the image of a lamb, will be a simple reminder to you and others that your trust is in the one who never fails. They're available as t-shirts or sweatshirts in a variety of colors. So check out the Psalm 23:1 collection anytime at resources.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, December the 22nd, 2025. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We appreciate it very, very much. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning to you, Tim.
And Brother Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm well.
Okay. You have a good weekend, did you?
I did. It wasn't too bad.
What stood out about your weekend, Chris?
I did some rest and relaxation on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to church a couple of times.
Yeah.
Had some good services.
Did you rest and relax during church?
I did not. I'm fully awake and focused.
Focused. Paid attention.
Yes, I did.
I'm not going to ask you about the sermon points.
It was something about the Bible.
Nice guess.
Yeah. I did that. I asked my daughter one time years ago, my oldest daughter, when she was five, you know, I picked her up from Sunday school. What'd you talk about today? The Bible?
Yeah.
Be more specific. Yeah. Jesus.
Okay. If we humans can have probably one takeaway from a sermon 24 hours after it was preached, that's a good sermon, don't you think, Fred?
That's right. Something stood out.
Something you can... impart into your soul and benefit from. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today on the program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brother Alex McFarland. He's also a doctor. He's a doctor. He's not an MD. He probably has an MD of, like a Master of Divinity, but I'm not sure about that. But Alex McFarland will be with us, and we got some stuff to talk to him about. This is Christmas week, as we know, and just wanted to make listeners aware who listen to AFR regularly, we are going to break for music. Brent Creeley is our producer. Brent's also, what's your title here? Assistant director of something of AFR?
Assistant director of radio, yes, sir.
Okay, so and you work here with us. I do yes. know that. I see you in your office. So I'm not very. So I thought you did.
But yes,
I just want to make sure. You've been with us a long time. 25 years.
19 this 19 past years. November.
All right.
Okay, so you as number two in authority here at American Family Radio can tell our listeners what's coming up this week on AFR?
Wednesday at 12 a.m. Central Time.
Is that midnight?
It's midnight Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
We will swap over to Christmas music. It'll be Christmas music 24/7.
Okay.
And that will go until Saturday morning at 12 a.m. Central Time.
So 3 days.
Yes, sir.
So be prepared, folks, if you tune in and join us on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Yep.
On AFR, we're going to have wall-to-wall Christmas music, and it's beautiful,
yes. Uh-huh.
Beautiful music. It's going to encourage you, and it's going to be a blessing to you as you celebrate Christmas. So just wanted you to be aware of that because, you know, like you, our families here celebrate. So our studios and our offices are closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So if you join us, if you tune in to AFR Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you go, where is it? What happened? We're just playing music, and we'll be back live Saturday, right?
That's correct.
Saturday, and then we'll be back live. So we're going to do this show, Fred, today, tomorrow, and then we'll be taking a break because we won't, you know, we'll have three Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then it'll be the weekend, so we'll be back next Monday.
We're going to give news a break.
Are you going to give news a break, too?
Going to give news a break.
So even at where our news segment is, at five at top of the hour, we won't have news.
No, sir. It's just Christmas music.
So it's all good news, is what you're saying here.
That's right.
That's right.
Not going to inject some bad news into our Christmas spirit.
That's right.
It's not that we would do that.
No, we don't want to do that. So enjoy our music, folks, that we're going to provide. You're going to love it. It's going to be beautiful music. It's not crazy, off the wall stuff. It's beautiful Christmas music. A lot of it probably you're going to, have childhood memories from some of the music that we play.
Yeah.
Christmas carols and so forth and so on.
Amen.
So we're looking forward to providing that. We hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas celebration. All right. Anything else we need to talk about, fellas, before we move on to the news here?
I don't know. I think we're going to talk about weather.
Yeah, weather is a big event.
What about it, Chris?
This actually started over the weekend in places out west, but the headline from Newsweek is winter weather warning is 40 inches of snow to hit, making travel impossible. Not the words that people wanted to hear as they're maybe taking a flight somewhere today.
Where is this going to take place, Fred?
Well, in the mountains on the, the eastern side of Washington State, Cascades up there. Now, we hear about snowstorms going to deliver 5 inches, 6 inches. They're measuring this projections are in feet in some areas. Wyoming, Montana, places like that, Idaho. So if you're planning a trip, even to fly there over the next couple of days, not so good. It really isn't. So, and I've driven through the passes there in Washington State in particular, and I tell you what, if it's raining, it's tough getting through there. But when it's snowstorms and heavy snow like this, it's just you don't want to do it.
Dangerous.
It's dangerous. But contrast that to where we live in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, I don't want to brag, but I'm living right. Because we're looking at sunshine and 72. Christmas Day is going to be 73.
I know.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
We're all living right, I think, right here in the sunny south.
Wow.
It is. It is really, my detesting of cold weather is well documented here on this show, so I don't mind a 75. I don't mind Honolulu coming to Mississippi.
No, I think what's this just weather? 2 weeks ago, we were like down to 17 overnight.
Yeah, it was whiplash
Fahrenheit, and it's all changed.
Yeah.
My motto is bring on the global warming. That's my motto as far as the weather goes. No, it's going to be it's beautiful.
Yeah,
here I'm sure that's probably true of much of the South anyway during the next week or so. But yeah, Christmas Day in Tupelo, it will be 73 degrees. You know, I remember as a kid, there was tornado warnings one Christmas. So you know, in the South, you can have bad weather, not snow and sleet, but you can have bad weather this time of year too. But it's going to be beautiful. Across most
when
a lot
I
of the
was
country.
Let me think here, 10th 11th grade in high school, my high school's football team was playing in the state championship game down in Jackson. They used to have it down in Jackson back then, and I was in the band, and we played Christmas songs, like Christmas carols, and it was 80 degrees for that, and it was in like mid-December.
So you can get all kind of weather. But it's going to be really, really bad in the Pacific Northwest, and I guess a lot of the other country getting some really pleasant weather during the Christmas.
I'm just glad not to be traveling.
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching a report about air travel today. I understand, the desire to be with family somewhere else in the country. I understand that. But, boy, this is a rough time of the year to travel.
Yes. Airports are already the saddest place on earth.
Oh, they're the opposite of Disney World?
Yes, they are. Yes.
like you said, people got to travel a lot of times long distances.
I understand
Have to get on the airplane. Like when you go back to Nova Scotia, you ain't driving it, are you, Fred?
Yeah, and the more stops you have, the greater the vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
in that?
Yeah, direct flights, if you can get them, are the way to go. I don't care if you got to pay a little bit more. You got direct flights, save your luggage from going to Singapore. There's a lot of advantages to direct flights. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. So the weather across this, particularly the Pacific Northwest, they're also experiencing in the West this what do they call the weather, the river, something about
atmospheric floods or something like that?
Atmospheric rivers?
Rivers, yeah. Yeah. I was just reading Redding, California. They're rescuing people there. The flooding is just flooding. Horrific.
Yeah.
You got these the rain just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. That's the best way to describe it.
Comes from Hawaii and picks up all that moisture. Yeah, and just dumps it.
Just dumps it and keep, like, it's like they call it a river. It's like it keeps coming over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Again, that's affecting. Now it's benefiting some of the lakes and reservoirs out there. I read where Lake Mead. That's the famous lake. Isn't that the lake? Not too far from the Grand Canyon. Isn't that true? Lake Mead, M-E-A-D. Yeah. But anyway, it's a big reservoir that Arizona depends on. The greater Phoenix area. Am I right? For water, and they were saying how low it was getting, and now it's going to, and the lakes, the reservoirs in California, too, have benefited from the flooding, so to speak. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. So what's the next story, Chris?
Well, Turning Point USA has, you know, for several years now, hosted an event out in Arizona called America Fest.
And that's Charlie Kirk's organization.
Correct. They just wrapped up their most recent America Fest, and it had a who's who of speakers, including Vice President J.D. Vance. We have several clips here from J.D. Vance, and he talked about a number of things, social and economic, political. Let's begin with this one. It's J.D. Vance talking about who we are as a nation. Clip 4.
The only thing that has truly served as an anchor of the United States of America is that we have been, and by the grace of God, we always will be, a Christian nation.
Now, that got a lot of applause. So he talked about us being a Christian nation. He also talked about and shared memories of his friend, Charlie Kirk, who, of course, was shot and killed, assassinated back in September. Let's play this one now, clip 2.
I'm going to tell you something I haven't talked about publicly before, but in the days after Charlie's death, I struggled a great deal. I'm sure many of you did too. I remember watching every video of the assassination, looking for clues, trying to understand what happened. I stayed up all night for many nights in a row, researching every conspiracy theory, going down every rabbit hole. When my lovely wife, Usha, told me to come to bed, I told her I owed it to Charlie to try to uncover every stone. And so that's what I tried to do. I remember I was consumed by this fear that Charlie's death wouldn't just deprive a family of their husband or of a good father, but that it would deny our movement of a great unifier of people and a great doer of great deeds.
Now, I can continue to play some clips, but do you want to weigh in on anything thus far?
Well, I think, you know, J.D. Vance hit on something very important there. People did wonder, after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, what was going to happen to his movement? Because many people understand it played a huge movement in the reelection of Donald Trump last year. But also, there was something happening in the nation with our young people. What would that do with Charlie Kirk off the scene? Would that kind of advancement, that surge that we saw amongst young people to start to embrace conservative values? Well, in the months now, we have seen no. It has had the opposite effect. It has had the effect of, we've heard of Turning Point USA clubs, a huge surge in those clubs across the country. I was quite taken this morning, and if you go to our website, afn.net, we have a video of young people who were interviewed at the convention. And I was impressed with these kids. I'm old enough, I'll call them kids. They may be late 20s, early 20s, late teens. But these kids, they've got their head screwed on straight. I want you to listen to a few of them. It's going to be Brent, cut number 5.
I support J.D. Vance all the way. I think he has done tremendous work as vice president in fostering our country for the better, and I can see him doing a lot of good and continuing Trump's work in the future.
My favorite part of his speech, when he talked about bringing God back into this country, how we're founded on Judeo-Christian values. We turn from God, we don't have anything, we won't have a country.
I just love on how well him and Trump have worked as a team. And I feel like J.D. Vance is learning a lot from Trump, but also in the position that he is now. And I'd love to see him step into that role. And I'm excited to see what he would do and what he's capable of as leading the country.
Yeah, that was impressive. Listen, Turning Point USA is a great organization and impacts young people, by young people, you know, high school, college age kids and beyond, but that's their primary focus is college age kids. And they have clubs all over the country, and they even grew after Charlie Kirk's assassination, the number of them. And so they're having their national convention. That's what you're hearing kids speak from while they were attending in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Yeah, there are a lot of impressive young people involved in this particular movie.
It is really encouraging. Now, of course, the left has tried to focus in on divisions in the conservative movement. You know, we
like there aren't divisions in the liberal movement.
But of course, you know, the way the mainstream media is, you know, the Tucker Carlson and the
Shapiro.
Fuentes and Ben Shapiro and all that sort of thing. And they were dealing with this, Chris, on the weekend.
Oh, sure. Sure. There were. We have two clips here of Ben Shapiro. Let's begin with this one because it's in recent days, and he said much of what he also said at America Fest. But here now is Ben Shapiro at Heritage Foundation criticizing Tucker Carlson. Clip 14.
Tucker Carlson has repeatedly hosted conspiracists on nearly every topic under the sun, uncritically nodding at their most bizarre assertions. And unfortunately, it gets worse. Because Tucker has also hosted pornographer and accused human trafficker and rapist Andrew Tate on his program to help him dismiss his crimes and to promote his horrific and anti-conservative takes on relations between men and women as self-improvement. And, of course, Tucker Carlson has hosted and glowingly treated America's foremost Hitler apologist, Nick Fuentes. None of this, none of it, comports with traditional American values.
Now, much of what he said there carried over into the speech that Ben Shapiro also gave at America Fest. Here's the slightly different excerpt, clip 15.
Today, the conservative movement is in serious danger. It is in danger, not just from a left that all too frequently excuses everything up to and including murder. The conservative movement is also in danger from charlatans who claim to speak in the name of principle, but actually traffic in conspiracism and dishonesty, who offer nothing but bile and despair, who seek to undermine fundamental principles of conservatism by championing enervation and grievance. These people are frauds, and they are grifters, and they do not deserve your time. And they are something worse than that, a danger to the only movement capable of stopping the left from wrecking the country wholesale.
I think Ben Shapiro right there is talking about Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. Mm-hmm. Is it Owens or Owen?
Owens, with an S.
Owens, in particular. Although he didn't, those clips, he didn't name them, but he's called out Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens mm-hmm. by name. Tucker Carlson is, I don't know what's happened to him, because I was a big fan, as a lot of people listening were. When he was at Fox News, mm-hmm. he had a top-rated show, and he's been a prolific columnist. And Tucker Carlson goes back probably, 25, 30 years. Even though he doesn't seem to age physically, I mean, he still looks young. He's probably my age, probably 60, 62, 63.
56.
Oh, he's only 56? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he used to wear a bow tie all the time. That was his signature, dress code there, a bow tie, and he would appear on CNN. He was in his 20s when he was appearing on CNN on Crossfire. Many people remember that show. So He got a start early. Very, very bright guy, and he was considered a great thinker in the conservative movement. And but he's, as I say, he's changed seemingly to me, and maybe to, obviously to Ben Shapiro, especially on, well, when he left Fox, okay, he started doing his podcast, Tucker Carlson I'm talking about, and he started doing interviews with people, many people considered just to be horrible folks, like the Tate brothers. You may have heard about them. That's the Nick Fuentes, people, you know, because of his anti-Semitism.
Yep.
He's a guy on the right that a lot of people know and listen to. So Ben Shapiro is saying we shouldn't be giving platforms Vladimir Putin. He went and interviewed him. And so, listen, just interviewing somebody does not necessarily mean you agree with that person's beliefs. Okay, that is true. But at the same time, I think what Tucker Carlson's coming under criticism for by Ben Shapiro and others is this is getting to where he keeps interviewing people that a lot of people consider to be out of bounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And not, you shouldn't be using your big microphone to put these people in front of millions of your followers.
Yeah.
That's what, couple that with his anti-Israel sentiments.
Yes.
That that Tucker's been putting out now for a couple, 3 years. Yeah. I consider him anti. Remember he said the people he hates most are Christian Zionists?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He retracted that. Later he said he's sorry he said that, but he's still, I don't know what's going on with him on that. What do you think, Fred?
Well, sometimes, and I think this is the case for Candace Owens too, I think they wake up in the morning and they say, what can I say today that's going to get me a lot of clicks?
Okay.
Because Candace Owens is now making millions of dollars with her podcast. And she has said some wild things in recent days that people with inside Turning Point may have been behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. All of those things. Now, Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie, had a meeting last week with Candace Owens, and they said it was a good meeting, but they haven't revealed the details of what they talked about yet. But I think many times some of these people within the, we would call the conservative circle, they're also business people, and they're looking to make money. And the way you make money with podcasts sometimes is you say something outlandish, so people start clicking on what you're said to hear your program. Yeah. So I think that may be what's going on with Tucker Carlson also. But during the weekend, both Vance and Erica Kirk basically said, we're not here to agree on everything. There are things more important that we can all work on together.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think they're talking about next year's midterm election.
What about Vance calling America a Christian nation? I think he's probably going to be booted out of the country now by the liberal media. Huh? They're going to freak out about that, aren't they?
Not yet.
They haven't.
They're more focused on what was said by Shapiro and Tucker Carlson in recent days.
So the war within the conservative cause. That's what the liberal media's picking up on instead of Vance calling it a Christian nation.
Yeah, fractured.
Yes.
You know.
That's what the liberal media would like the story to be.
Yeah, don't you? But Erica Kirk says, you know, she endorsed J.D. Vance.
Yes.
I think J.D. Vance is going to be a shoo-in, in my opinion, to be the Republican nominee. Unless he blows
you were
it.
A betting man today, it'd be a safe bet.
Huh? Mm.
Yeah.
So he's the heir apparent.
Yeah.
And he's and of course, when you're VP, you're naturally in line to be the next.
And of course, a lot of people are wondering, okay, what does this mean for Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. He hasn't announced whether he was going to. Of course, we're a couple years out from that. I would imagine if J.D. Vance runs, he's not going to. Governor DeSantis would probably be a good fit to be in the administration of a J.D. Vance, because they're,
I could see that,
they're basically two peas in a pod, philosophically. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Let's see, we can talk about Christmas, or we can talk about the Epstein files. Raise your hand. What do you want to talk about here?
Let's talk about Christmas.
Let's talk about Christmas. That Epstein file thing, I'll just say this. The Department of Justice... by law, was supposed to and did release the into the public arena, right? Because we're seeing, you know, it's like, I don't know, thousands of pages and pictures of this guy's life, and evidently he and Bill Clinton were tight now, huh? He went, but of any of the big name politicians, it appears like Bill Clinton was, they were BFFs almost, right? Best friends forever. And so it really, really, really makes Bill Clinton look bad.
Yes.
As far as some of the information was redacted, and the Department of Justice says it was to protect names of individuals who were victims, who don't want their names put out for the world to see. And for anybody on the left or the Democrats to try to use this against President Trump as somehow his administration is hiding something, just be clear. Let's just be clear. The Biden administration had the same files. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Fred.
You're right.
For 4 years. And they didn't release them into the public domain.
Yeah.
And rest assured, had they had any dirt on Trump relative to his relationship to Jeffrey Epstein, they would have put it out there.
Of course.
So that's just all, that's why I don't understand why are they even saying anything? They're just, I'm talking about the Democrats and the lefties on the Jeffrey Epstein files, because really most of the politicians that are mentioned in there, almost all of them, and the celebrities, they're all lefties.
Yeah.
They're all Democrats. They, you know, so...
Which explains why the Biden administration didn't release anything in the four years.
Right. So, anyway, we'll see if anything else develops from that. But I think most people are ready. It's so sordid and ugly. You don't, it's not even, you know, this guy was a pervert.
Yes.
And a,
horrible.
And a, well, he was convicted of, of sex trafficking, right?
Trafficking, yes.
So...
And his, and his girlfriend for aiding him. She's in prison.
She's in the federal pen, and he's dead, I guess.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Some people think
that's what people say.
Some people think he is alive somewhere. But anyway. What do you think, Fred?
No, he's gone into eternity.
Okay, you don't care about the missing videotape, huh?
No.
Huh?
No. Even the FBI, just in, funny you mentioned that.
The Trump.
FBI in recent days?
Yeah.
I think Dan Bongino, who is retiring, or...
Dan. Is it Dan?
Dan Bongino.
Let's change his name.
Yes. He, I think, even said a couple of weeks ago that because before he went into the... I'm talking about Dan Bongino here. Before he went into the administration, he had a conspiracy that something nefarious happened to...
Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes. So
conspiracy theories help cliques of podcasters. You do know that.
Right? They sure do. But Bongino, just in the last few weeks, said he's investigated and Mr. Epstein died.
By suicide.
Mm-hmm. By suicide. Yes.
I think one thing that hampers any investigation that involves Americans or that has Americans paying attention to it is Americans are naturally, we're born skeptical. And we don't trust the government from the day we're born. Whereas Fred is Canadian, so he comes at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, he's a nice man, nice Canadian. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alex McFarland, our good friend and colleague, joins us now from the great state of North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, brother. You going to celebrate there?
Oh, yes. Okay. We are in North Carolina, and... I think Santa Claus will come here first.
You think Santa Claus comes first in North Carolina?
Exactly.
So not only first in flight, but first in flight for, or is that Ohio? No.
No, Ohio's the birthplace of
aviation. Birthplace, yeah.
Yeah.
And both of them claim the Wright brothers.
They do.
On their,
the Wright brothers were from Dayton, Ohio, but they brought their plane down here to the coast to fly it.
Kitty Hawk, right?
Yep. I've been to the very spot many times. Wow. Hey, I got to tell you this, Tim. If you ever go to the Wright Brothers Museum down there in Kitty Hawk, and it's a must-see. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. There's a Bible in one of the glass display cases. They were sons of a Methodist bishop, and they were called the Bishop's Boys. And I hope it's still there, but Tim, there's a journal. And you can read their writing, and it says, Sunday, such and such a day, conditions are perfect, but it is the Lord's day, and we do not fly the plane on the Lord's day.
Huh. Hey, where is Kitty Hawk? Is it on the Outer Banks? Or
It is. There are these barrier islands called the Outer Banks. It's quite beautiful. There's Nag's Head, Kitty Hawk, and Killdevil Hills. And there's a couple of just ginormous sand dunes, and somehow or another the Wright brothers found out about it, and they believed, and they had made a number of trips down here in like 1901, 2, and 3. But I'll tell you what's interesting. There's a town on another island, Roanoke Island, and the town of Manteo was settled in 1587. And the first English child, Virginia Dare, was born there in Manteo, and of course, Angie and I've preached all over this region, but everybody, you ought to come see the Outer Banks. It's a fascinating place, lots and lots of history down here. And
how do you get there? I mean, if I drive to, I'm looking at the map, did you go to Jacksonville? Not Florida, but you go to Jacksonville, North Carolina, and then cut across?
You can. There's a couple of highways out here, and in fact, there's a couple of bridges. There's two sounds, the Albemarle Sound and the Pamlico Sound, and it's so long, I mean, you can't even see across it. You think it's the ocean, but it isn't. It's the inland waterway, and you got to cross some pretty big bridges. But if you fly into Raleigh, the state capital, it's about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive out here. Huh. And
now,
then,
when do you go to? How do you get to Mount Pilot?
Well, now that's a little bit in the western part of the state. It's near Winston-Salem. And it's actually called Pilot Mountain, but
I was just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was a real place.
Yeah, it's named after.
I just know the Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith talked about going to Mount Pilot. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But Mayberry is fictional. You do know this, Fred, right?
Yes.
Mayberry is fictional.
Now, there's a town. Andy Griffith was born in Mount Airy, but they kind of, as a wordplay, call it Mayberry. But
I got you.
listen, there's a museum in Mount Airy, and the actual jail is in there, that the set. Huh.
And seriously, if you go to Mount Airy, you can see that.
Oh yeah, the Andy Griffith Museum is nice. Amazing. And
where is that? I'm looking at Asheville. Is it far from Asheville, Morgantown?
It's more east. If look to Winston-Salem,
okay,
and on I-40, you'll see Mount Airy and Pilot Mountain.
You could just spend a week vacation and then seeing the sights of North, probably 2 weeks, seeing the sights of North Carolina there. So, but back to Kitty Hawk for just a minute. Did the Wright brothers go over there to the beach? Because that was, why did they need to go to the beach to test her? They didn't want her.
You know, I've often wondered, and somehow or another, they had written, to the you know, Army Corps of Engineers mm-hmm. to find out they wanted a certain kind of wind.
I got you.
A very consistent wind speed. But also, there's these dunes, and I guess I thought flying on sand, you'd have a somewhat of a soft landing.
Yeah, maybe so.
But one last thing I got to tell you is, you go down Highway 12 to Cape Hatteras to the lighthouse.
Okay.
Now this is amazing. There is a German submarine that you go to the top of Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and you can look down and you can see a sunken submarine right a couple of hundred feet off the coast. That's how close the German U-boats got into our water space. And
really.
Wow,
I didn't know that. Okay.
And divers go down there, but I know we're here to talk about the Lord, but I'm talking about North Carolina.
Well, hey, that's the Lord's country.
Amen.
Right? That's what they call it. You know what? I've got Stephen McDowell, our good friend, he vacations in Holden Beach.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Every year, and he tells me about how much they enjoy going there, which is around not too far from Myrtle Beach. Looks like it's mm-hmm. like north of Myrtle Beach. Anyway, all right. So I want to ask you a couple things, Alex. We had mentioned that Tucker Carlson, I will say this, what I'm about to say he did apologize for later. Mm-hmm. But he had made the comment that there's nobody he hates worse than Christian Zionist, is what he said. Again, mm-hmm. he did apologize for saying that. But I wanted you to tell folks what the expression Zionist means. When we say somebody is a Zionist, what is a Zionist?
Well, you know, nowadays, if that term is used, it's almost always used in a pejorative sense,
mm-hmm.
You know, to be critical. But really, the Zionist movement started back in the 1800s as, you know, Jewish people and many non-Jews, like Winston Churchill, wanted to create a Jewish state and recover land. And I mean, the very famous guy, and he's worth reading his biography, is Theodore Herzl, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he wrote extensively in the 1800s about a future, the reestablishment of the Jewish state, which, of course, that took place, and by the way, May 14, 1948, but there was really a good, you know, decade plus lead up to it. And there's a documentary that CBN produced some years ago about the miracle of the rebirth of the State of Israel. But Zionism was among some of Europe's and some of America's most elite academics and political figures, and it was a very respectable, concerted effort, again led by Theodore Herzl, to reestablish the nation of Israel. But the way people use it now, it's almost like the word fundamentalist.
Right.
Yeah.
And let me give just a tiny bit of history, by the way. Like, in the aftermath of the Scopes trial in 1925, when there was modernism, they called it. Today we would call it liberalism or wokeness, but modernism infected many a church and denomination, and there was denial of what the Word of God says about creation, the deity of Christ. And so the fundamentalist movement, R.A. Torrey out at Biola University, he had come from Moody Church, they raised money, they produced a 5-volume set of books called The Fundamentals. What are the fundamentals of Christianity? The triune God, the authority of God's inerrant word, Jesus, God incarnate, who shed his blood, rose from the dead. Now, the reason I bring that up is originally in the mid to late part of the 20th century, fundamentalist was really kind of a compliment, like, I embrace the fundamentals, core Christianity. Now, the left really used it as a bad word. Oh, you're like Jerry Falwell, who's basically a jihadist. You're a fundamentalist. And they equated it with Islamic fundamentalists. And so now that word is so laden with baggage. I mean, nobody much would use that word, even though we definitely do affirm.
All it really means is you believe in the fundamentals of the faith.
True Christianity.
But you're right. The left turned it into something. Oh, these are Christian fundamentalists. They're to be feared. They're trying to take over America. They want to have everybody forced to be baptized and
a theocratic state.
Theocratic state and so forth and so on. Yeah.
And that's how the left has really demonized the word Zionism. That it means, okay, you must hate Palestinians and the genocide. And
so Zionism really just means you support a nation, you support a Jewish state. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And see, Zion is one of the biblical names for Jerusalem.
Okay, that's where we get it from. Gotcha.
Yeah, the Bible uses the word Zion in three senses. Sometimes it's referred to Jerusalem, sometimes the entire land of Israel, and sometimes the kingdom of heaven. And so Zion also is a Hebrew word that really means promised land. So a Zionist is someone who believes that the land of Israel belongs to the Israelites, and that the everlasting covenant God gave to Abraham is exactly that, everlasting. And so, the left is really adept at commandeering language. And by the way, let me tell you my theory on this. People like James Carville, if you want to be on the forefront of how the left twists and perverts language at the expense of the right, listen to James Carville, because he is a semantical ninja when it comes to twisting words for the advantage of the left. Mm-hmm. And conservatives and Christians, sometimes we're a little slow to the draw on the twisting of language, because generally conservative people are forthright, and we're not trying to flim-flam anybody. You know what I mean, Tim?
But if you get a semantical ninja show up at your house, you better be prepared. That's all I got to say, because they can take you down. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. James Carville can twist words. Hey, I want to talk about one thing real quickly, and we can move on to another topic here, guys. But when you mentioned, I remember this song from 30 years ago. I don't know how old it is, but it's a wonderful song that the Gaither Vocal Band sings, Blow the Trumpet in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard them sing this? Have you ever heard them sing this?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them live. Many years ago, Marvin Sanders and I had Bill Gaither on Exploring the Word one time.
Okay. But a lot of people remember this song, Blow the Trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound alarm on my holy mountain. Anyway, I tried out for the Gaither Vocal Band there. As you can tell, I almost made it.
Uh-huh.
Now you can tell by the talent that I have that I don't like to brag about, my singing talent, but... Anyway, if you want to watch something that'll bless you, just go type in "Blow the Trumpet," guys will come up.
I found it. I'll post it for you if you want me to. It's from the Gaither Vocal Band.
The Gaither Vocal Band. I had my mind went blank for a minute, but if you want to be blessed, go and watch the "Blow the Trumpet," and by the Gaither Vocal Band. It's a great praise and worship song there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, listen, Alex, we'll let you go, my friend. We got other stuff we need to get to, but I wanted to have you on to talk particularly about this word Zion and Zionist, because we keep hearing it, as you say, in a pejorative way. But all it really means is people who support a Jewish state, the existence of a Jewish state, and I think all Christians should.
Of course. And Israel has the right to exist. They have the right to self-determination, and they have the right to self-defense. And let me say, that land is their land. One last thing. 4,000 years before Islam existed, the Jews were in the land of Israel.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead, Fred.
By historical precedent and by divine right, that is their land.
Go ahead.
Tim, you were mentioning this morning about a wish that Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, has put out there, the historical claim of what constitutes the land that God promised
to
Abraham. Alex, I wonder if you could. People may say, wait a minute, there's more than the little piece of land that they have now. What did God promise back there to Abraham? What were the dimensions that God promised Abraham?
Oh, it's huge, and they have never really completely inhabited all of their land. Okay, for one thing, you know, all the way to the sea, if you're staring at a map, you know, you've got everything to the west of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and then you've got really, you know, the from the river to the sea, as the saying goes, all of that land. And frankly, they will never completely, I don't think, inhabit all of their promised land until Jesus comes back.
People say, well, you Christians only support Israel because the Bible tells you to, or so you say the Bible tells you to. This is what secularists and people on the left and even some on the right will say to us, people like us. They're going to say, you're trying to base your politics on just your religious beliefs. Well, that is a part of it, but that's not the only thing. Israel is our strongest ally, probably in the world. Okay.
Yeah. Agreed.
And certainly in the Middle East, they're the only Western-style democracy in the Middle East. The rest of them are Islamic countries that are not open societies. They're closed. They have very anti-American and anti-Israel within the Islamic faith in that region of the world, and they have, it's a different way of. I remember seeing a survey of Muslims inside Israel. This is about 10 years ago. I don't have my hands on it right now, but they may have been less than that 5 years ago. Where they surveyed Muslims living inside the Jewish state of Israel, would you rather live in Israel, or would you rather live in a Muslim country? Muslim dominant country, and they said that we'd rather live in Israel.
Hmm.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because they have freedoms in Israel. Do they have conflicts between the Jews and the Arabs over there? Absolutely. But we have conflicts around the world between various different groups of people that are ongoing. But the Arabs and the Jews in Israel, for the most part, get along. Okay, for the most part, they get along. But you have your extremist factions like that will, you know, that do attack and try to foment hate for one group, especially against the Jews. But the other reason is the holy sites are in Israel.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Christian holy sites and the Jewish holy sites, and with the Dome of the Rock, one particular Islamic holy site, that's a whole other story. It's built over the Mount Moriah. It's built over the place where
Abraham sacrificed Isaac.
Yes, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and so that's the Temple Mount. It's also called the Temple Mount, so it's a very sacred place for Jews. But I'm just saying, all the site, Bethlehem, you know, Jericho, the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem, all these, the Sea of Galilee, all these holy sites that Christians travel to see and have over the centuries, they need to be protected. And the nation of Israel is protecting them because they know how crucial it is just to their tourism industry alone. Mm-hmm. So, and also the Jews are a tiny group of people when you consider the Arab world. The Arab world and the Muslim world, they got massive amount of land space and countries that they control. Israel's this tiny little sliver of land, if you look at the globe, over there. And it's the only place that the Jews have their own country. And they got their own country basically after World War II because of what happened with them in the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were killed. We know what Hitler did there. Uh-huh. So in sympathy for the Jewish people, the United Nations gave them, the Jews, their historic homeland, at least a small portion of it, as a place for them to have their own country and have their own land, have their own government. And, of course, they began to immediately... It was owned by the British. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Alex.
No, you're right. Transjordan, they called it.
Yeah. So Israel, modern-day Israel, was under the British control. So the Palestinians, as they are called today, the Arabs, Muslims over there, they did live there, but it wasn't their land because they were under British authority. So really the British that handed over the land to the Jews.
Who had it first.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yes, who... If you want to see, you want to call them natives.
Nobody, indigenous people.
Nobody's more native to that part of the world than the Jews.
Right.
Amen.
All right, Alex, thank you. Take care, my friend. Appreciate
God bless.
You being on. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
It's Dr. Alex McFarland here. Okay, so blow a trumpet in Zion. One of those guys hits a really, really, really high note. Those Gaither,
I will try to hit that note tomorrow.
How do you say it, that those Gaither boys can sing?
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
That's right.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.